What if the purest, most effective medicines couldn't be made on Earth at all? This week, US-based Varda Space Industries proved it could mass-produce an HIV drug in orbit, creating crystals far superior to anything made terrestrially. At the same time, the UK became the first country in the world to create a regulatory pathway for space-made medicines. The era of the orbital factory isn't coming. It's here. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global business. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we are leaving the planet. We're seeing a convergence of technologies that is turning the concept of in-space manufacturing from a futuristic dream into a present-day commercial reality. It's not just about experiments on the International Space Station anymore. We're talking about dedicated autonomous factories in orbit, creating products for markets right here on Earth.
Exactly. The economics have fundamentally shifted, driven by dramatically lower launch costs. We're now seeing the rapid emergence of a complete commercial ecosystem, from manufacturing platforms to specialized logistics for bringing the finished goods home. This has profound implications for pharmaceuticals, semiconductors, and advanced materials.
Let's start with the most immediate breakthrough, pharmaceuticals. We saw multiple major developments this week. Troy, what exactly happened?
Two key players made significant moves. First, Varda Space Industries, a U.S. company, announced on June 25th it had successfully demonstrated a scalable production capability for biopharmaceuticals in orbit. They used the anti-HIV drug ritonavir, proving that microgravity allows for the growth of larger, more structurally perfect drug crystals.
More perfect crystals? Why does that matter to a pharmaceutical executive in Basel or Boston?
It's critical. A more perfect crystal structure can lead to a drug with higher purity, better stability, and improved solubility. That translates into enhanced efficacy and potentially fewer side effects for patients. For manufacturers, it could solve long-standing challenges with drugs that are difficult to formulate on Earth. This is a new tool for drug development.
And Varda isn't alone, right?
Not at all. We also saw Redwire, another major U.S. space infrastructure firm, announced on June 18th the completion of its own on-orbit pharmaceutical research with partners like Bristol-Myers Squibb. But the most significant news globally came from the UK's Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, or MHRA. On June 25th, they unveiled the world's first regulatory pathway for space-manufactured medicines.
The world's first? That sounds like a big deal. What does that unlock?
It removes a massive commercial barrier. It tells pharmaceutical companies that there is a clear, predictable process for getting these innovative space-made drugs approved for sale. It moves orbital manufacturing from R&D into the realm of commercial production.
So how does this specifically affect US and European drug manufacturers? Is this a threat?
It's both. For companies whose competitive edge is in complex drug formulations, this is a potential disruption. A competitor could use microgravity to create a superior version of an existing drug. But it's a tremendous opportunity. European and U.S. pharma companies can now partner with firms like Varda, Redwire, or Lambda Vision to solve difficult R&D problems or create next-generation treatments.
And for trading companies and distributors?
They need to recognize a new category of ultra-high-value goods. Sourcing will mean engaging with these new space manufacturing companies. The logistics are entirely different. We're not talking about shipping containers. We're talking about re-entry capsules.
So what's the actionable insight here? What should executives do now?
Pharmaceutical R&D leaders should immediately task their teams to identify compounds in their pipeline that are limited by crystallization or formulation challenges on Earth. This is a new production vector to explore, and supply chain executives should begin mapping this emerging space-to-ground logistics sector. This isn't a 10-year horizon. Varda has already raised $329 million to scale this.
Okay, so pharma is the first wave, but the potential is much broader. We also saw news from SpaceX this week about manufacturing other high-tech materials in space.
Correct. On June 24th, reports surfaced on SpaceX's Starfall capsules. These are specialized autonomous orbital platforms designed specifically for commercial in-space manufacturing of products like semiconductors, advanced optical fibers, and novel alloys.
An autonomous space factory? How does that work? And why is it better than a factory in, say, Taiwan or Germany?
In microgravity, the physical forces of convection and sedimentation are suppressed.
When you're growing a semiconductor crystal or drawing a strand of optical fiber from molten glass on Earth, gravity introduces tiny, unavoidable defects and impurities. In orbit, you can achieve a level of perfection that is physically impossible on the ground.
And this is now economically realistic? That's always been the catch.
This is the central point. An analysis from Elevate Consulting Group published on June 23rd makes it explicit. SpaceX's reusable rockets have so dramatically reduced launch costs that manufacturing high-value products in space is now economically viable. The cost per kilogram to orbit has fallen by an order of magnitude, crossing a critical threshold.
Let's translate that for our audience. What does this mean for a European car manufacturer or a U.S. telecom company?
For a telecom company, it means the potential to source ZB-LAN optical fibers, which have a theoretical signal loss 1/100th of that of traditional silica fibers. This is a game changer for long-haul data transmission. For an automotive or aerospace manufacturer, it means access to new alloys, mixing metals that would separate under gravity on Earth, to create materials that are both stronger and lighter.
And for semiconductor manufacturers?
They could source flawless, large-diameter crystal wafers, leading to chips that are faster and more power-efficient. This is a direct competitive opportunity for U.S. and European chip designers who rely on foundries for fabrication. They could potentially leapfrog existing processes by sourcing superior base materials.
What should Western trading companies and distributors be looking at here?
These aren't bulk commodities. They are strategic materials. Distributors specializing in high-performance electronics, telecom components, and industrial materials need to establish relationships with the players in this space, like SpaceX and Varta. Market timing is key. It's early, but the supply chain is being built now.
So what's the actionable takeaway for executives this week?
If you are a CTO in the semiconductor, aerospace, or telecommunications sector, you need a team modeling the unit economics of sourcing space-made components. This technology could fundamentally alter the performance limits of your products within the next 5 years.
This all sounds incredible, but it brings up a very practical question. If you're making all these high-value goods in orbit, how do you get them back to Earth safely and reliably? You can't just have them delivered by Amazon Prime.
You've hit on the crucial missing link in the space economy, and it's a bottleneck that is now being solved. A Japanese startup, Elevation Space, just secured a $40 million Series B funding round on June 22nd, bringing their total to $63.5 million.
And what do they do?
They are building a dedicated, high-frequency payload return service. Think of them as the FedEx or DHL for low Earth orbit. They are developing small, reusable re-entry satellites designed to bring experiments and manufactured products back from space to a precise landing location.
So this isn't just Varta or SpaceX bringing their own stuff back. This is a third-party logistics provider for space.
Exactly. And that is a massive signal for the market. It shows the ecosystem is maturing. They are collaborating with JAXA, Japan's space agency, and have backing from industrial giants like automotive supplier Toyota Gosei and Dai Nippon Printing. They're targeting a technology demonstration on the ISS in 2029.
Why is a Japanese startup so important for U.S. and European companies?
Because it de-risks the entire in-space manufacturing model. It means a European pharma company or a U.S. chip designer doesn't have to rely on a single vertically integrated provider like SpaceX for everything. They can potentially use one company's orbital platform and another company's return service. It creates a competitive open market for space logistics.
So what should Western trading companies and distributors take away from this?
They should see this as the birth of a new, highly specialized logistics vertical. Companies that manage complex, high-value supply chains have an opportunity to partner with or even invest in these services. Sourcing reliable re-entry capacity will be a critical competitive advantage for anyone trading in space-made goods.
So, the actionable insight for a COO or head of supply chain?
Start tracking the development of these re-entry service providers, not just Elevation Space in Japan, but their inevitable competitors. Initiate exploratory discussions to understand the future cost structure, lead times, insurance requirements, and customs implications of a space-based leg in your supply chain. This is no longer theoretical.
All right, Troy, let's bring it all together. A lot of moving parts this week as the space economy accelerates. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, the space factory has transitioned from R&D to commercial reality. In-orbit production, led by biopharmaceuticals and high-purity materials, is happening now. This isn't a future trend. It's a current business opportunity and a competitive threat.
Second, the business model is now proven to be viable.
Correct.
The dramatic reduction in launch costs pioneered by SpaceX has fundamentally changed the economics. Manufacturing high-value, low-volume products in space is no longer cost prohibitive. The financial barrier to entry has been lowered, and private capital is flowing in, as evidenced by Varda's $329 million in funding.
And finally, a complete supply chain is being built.
Yes, it's not just about launch and manufacturing anymore. A crucial third layer, logistics and payload return, is emerging, with well-funded companies like Japan's Elevation Space. This creates a robust ecosystem, giving businesses more options and de-risking the entire space-to-ground value chain. Executives need to think about this as a complete, functioning industrial sector.
A new industrial revolution, happening 400 kilometers above our heads. That's all the time we have for this week. Thank you for the insights, Troy.
My pleasure, Susie.
Join us again next week for your strategic briefing. Subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an update on the technologies driving global competition. Until then, I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. Goodbye.